It's opening night. Josh Bass and Marcus Barahal take you through the highs and lows of the Nets' loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves, including doing the first part of their pod as a live reaction while the end of the game was still going on, and then you hear our sorrow after it's complete, coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back with another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Josh Bass and Marcus Barahal, we're recording in person. Marcus, you're sitting about 6 inches away from me. We are currently watching the end of what has been a surprisingly entertaining, more surprisingly competitive Nets game. The Nets currently trail the Timberwolves by 3. Marcus, how great is it to first off have basketball back, first game of the season? Like, I think have been enjoying this a lot more than I thought I would. And it's clear I have really been deprived without basketball.
Yeah, you were going a little bit crazy earlier in the game, but you texted me like during the second quarter, I think, saying that you wanted to fire Sean Marks.
No, I was kidding about that.
But then I came over. The Nets had a great run in the third quarter, so that was obviously incredible to watch. And yeah, you're completely right. Just like having basketball back in general is like, it's unbelievable. Like all the games going on, there was that monstrous Derek White dunk, Markelle Fultz even making plays. Derek Jones. What did I say?
Derek White.
No, Flight White. But
Jared Allen just had a nice hook shot, which should have been a name one.
Yeah, so we're reacting to the game right now. There's under 3 minutes left. We're going to give you our live takes as the game happens, which I don't know how entertaining that'll be.
We'll check it out. You know, yeah, we'll see what works. We're all about experimenting on this pod. Much like Kenny Atkinson tinkering with the lineup or Sean Marks scouring the waiver wire in the G League, we're looking to see if we can make tweaks to make your Locked On Nets experience more enjoyable. So Kyrie Irving really was the main focus of this game so far. An insane 25 points in the first half. Really, him and Caris LeVert were the only guys doing anything as the Timberwolves kind of punished the Nets in the first half, really just getting whatever they wanted. Luckily, Joe Harris woke up in the second half. Torian Prince had a really nice run. Marcus, you came over basically as Torian was doing his run. So what were your impressions on that?
Yeah, he got really hot. And I think I was most impressed by his driving game because I think we both know that he can like knock down threes and he has like the potential. Big three-pointer just now by Kyrie. Torian has the potential to be like a great defender just because of his size. But the driving was something that really surprised me. He had a couple of nice fakes that he drove on, and I think guys were kind of expecting him to pass, so no one really stepped up, and he got a couple, like he had a nice layup, he had a clean dunk in transition, and then he used that later on where he pump faked on Wiggins and then did like a half step like he was going to drive, pulled back and hit a three. So it was nice to see him kind of explode in the third quarter, and it's good to see the Nets as a whole like come out strong in the second half. That's kind of what you would hope from a good team and a team that has good coaching, is that they make those adjustments in the first half after what was a really down first half and come out in the second half looking a lot better.
Yeah, no, Torian had some really nice plays in the third quarter. I'm still concerned on the defensive end just because from a defensive standpoint, I think the concentration isn't necessarily there. A couple plays where both him and also even David Nwaba were just kind of late off ball, not getting to shooters or not getting around screens. That led to the Timberwolves getting pretty hot. And then on the rebounding front, he's just really undersized. And you have Joe Harris, who's not a great rebounder, Kyrie, who's not as well, Caris, who's decent for his position. And with Prince at the four, especially when you're playing him to start alongside Jared Allen, who's like an average rebounder. And we were talking about this, he's much better on the offensive glass than he is the defensive. And he can get bullied around by guys like Karl Anthony Towns, who's just a lot bigger and stronger. That's when you can get into a lot of trouble with having Torian Prince as your four.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even like a guy like David Nwaba we've seen in this game who boxed out really well.
He hops.
Yeah, he does. You mentioned Joe Harris, who's like not a great rebounder, but I think he is like willing to scrap and fight. And that's really all you can ask for from a lot of these guys on the Nets because they are so undersized that as long as they give effort, that's like something.
Yeah. And I actually I'll take a quick break to say that I like that we're talking a lot about our impressions from the game while it's still going on and later on, of course, because especially with me, you know, I get very emotional about the Nets as Andrew Wiggins surprisingly has a nice take to the basket and scores to tie it up with a minute and a half left. But I get so kind of emotional about the end of these games that like the win or loss really colors things. And we don't necessarily focus on kind of the process that got there. Oh my God, Kyrie with an insane step back three. The Nets are up 3 with a minute and 10 left. I has he hit 40 yet? This is just so enjoyable to me as Jeff Teague takes time out. He's beyond hyped. Theo Pinson is hyped. And Kyrie, before the game even started, Marcus, I know you were a little late to getting here, so I'm not sure if you saw this, but he addressed the crowd at Barclays Center, and he was choking up. He was tearing up. You could tell how much this game and kind of being a net means to him, regardless of what his fandom was before growing up as a kid in New Jersey. Just kind of everything that has happened to him the last few years, with winning the championship with the Cavs, kind of the fight with LeBron and those two breaking up, and then kind of the highs and lows of Boston, his reputation kind of was tarnished. So you have to imagine he's going to come out guns blazing, trying to kind of build that back up again. And it's clear how much this means to him. And it was just great to see.
Yeah, I think that's why, to me, a lot of people who are like doubting what the Nets are going to be and if they're going to lose a step with substituting a Kyrie for D'Angelo Russell, they're missing that this is like a huge prove it year for Kyrie. And like, other than a guy who's like playing for a new contract, this is a guy who's like playing for his reputation, which is probably the other thing that would like motivate a player more than anything. And Kyrie has 43 points right now, which is, I think it seems like it's the most points in a season opener in franchise history. Yeah. So that's obviously very good to see. You're not expecting that every night, but just seeing that fire, that competitiveness, and seeing his teammates get really excited. Like Theo Pinson on the bench is doing that same dance from last year. So hopefully the chemistry seems like it's carrying over. I even saw Kevin Durant was there on the bench, which is a good sign.
He's teaching Henry Ellenson and David Nwaba and Musa the dance lessons.
Yeah, Musa got a little bit of reps last year, but this year he's hoping to step up.
He's going to have to be the number two guy for them this year on dancing. Ellenson's really, I think, going to be a rock for them. He has a lot of potential. Low-key, a lot of rhythm for Henry Ellenson.
Right, Big Sauce is gone. So.
Oh, my. Ooh. Towns' shot is butter. He's hit 7 threes tonight. It's so effortless. He catches the ball about 20 feet. He just pivots to being behind the three-point line and shoots that shot effortlessly. And unless Allen's right directly on him, he's going to be able to get it off every time.
Yeah, and it's great, reminiscent of the Brook Lopez shot where he doesn't really jump a ton, but he's so big that it doesn't matter. Oh, man, Kyrie.
Oh, that was a little bit of a force. But really nice offensive rebound by Jared Allen there on that possession to get Kyrie another chance.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about because he is so wiry, which like on the defensive end when you usually have position that hurts you, but on the offensive end he can kind of slide in and out of little cracks better than a typical big man would.
Board.
And so he's able to grab those offensive rebounds, whereas on the defensive end, he's like more playing ahead.
Okay, Nets have the ball, 20 seconds left, Kyrie with it. About 4 seconds more on the game clock than shot clock. He's going to wind it down here.
Jared Allen coming up to set a pick. Kyrie drives, passes to Allen.
A lot of contact. NFL.
Yeah.
With 5.7.
Man.
So Jared Allen, pretty good free throw shooter for a big man. Had some struggles at the end of last year, especially in the playoffs, as I think we all remember. But let's see how he can do. I think he's 1 for 2 tonight.
That play also really reminded me of that play down the stretch against the Sixers in Game 4 where he got past the ball on the roll and he just got tied up immediately. This time he held it high, which was really good. And it seemed like it was clear he wasn't going to make the shot, but he also just like drove right in with no fear, right into the body. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. He missed the first. Josh is going to explode if this next one doesn't go in. Kyrie is saying, be smart.
So Marcus has an improv show right after this game. He's going to. I'm supposed to go to it, but if the Nets lose, I really don't think I can.
That's fair. Especially if it's like this.
Buzzer beater. Yeah. Come on, Allen.
I think last season, the first game of the season, was LeVert hitting that buzzer beater, right? Or the home opener, I should say.
Yeah, so the home opener.
Another exciting game. 5.7 seconds.
Dorian Prince offensive rebound!
Oh, wow. He didn't get fouled there?
So, even though my heart skipped a beat, Andrew Wiggins missed a contested three-point shot. Not a bad look for an inbounds with 2.6 seconds left from a tough angle. So, the Nets are going to overtime here. We're going to take a break. We're going to watch overtime, then go to Marcus's show. And then, once we're back from the show, we will record a segment post-improv. So, we're going to hopefully... our comedic timing will be a bit better. And whenever I go to these improv shows, you know what I'm wearing. It's Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering code LOCKEDON at checkout. And now you're hearing this after the Nets game, we're recording this part the next morning. You all know what happened. The Nets have unfortunately lost this one in heartbreaking fashion. Kyrie Irving with, I think, a performance to remember in his opening debut as a Net, 50 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 0 turnovers. Also, that was very impressive. Unfortunately, he couldn't hit that last shot. He was bringing the ball up with about 13 seconds left, down by 1. He wanted to go for the hero moment instead of going quickly to get a second chance. And if he missed, kind of lost the ball around 18 feet from the hoop with 4 seconds left, ended up getting it back, getting in front of his man with a pretty clean 15-foot fadeaway look that he can hit very frequently. Unfortunately, just didn't go down, and he was crushed after that.
Yeah, you could see him. He wanted that to go down, not just because like you want the win, but just because it would be such a good moment in your first game to drop 50 and hit like a game-winning shot in overtime. That would be like, I don't know how you top that.
Yeah, no, that was I don't know who's more upset, me or him, after that. So basically, he misses that, and you had left a few minutes before because you had to go to your improv show. I was going to the improv show. He misses the shot. I could hear my roommates stirring from their rooms because I knew they were going to come out and give me a hard time for the Nets losing their opener. But I immediately just screamed an expletive, sprinted out of the room, and then got out of the apartment before I could hear that. I could get grief from them.
Yeah, I was surprised you were like still in a mood to like come to the show, but I guess it was just an escape for you.
Yeah, it wasn't escape. It was also really good. So, and I think one of the best ones I've ever seen. So, it was definitely well worth it.
Oh, good. I'm glad I could take your mind off Kyrie for a second.
But yeah, it was a really good game. You know, the Nets played sloppy. Obviously, the missed free throws are kind of going to be the headline, especially Jarrett Allen missing those two with 5.7 seconds left. But finished 15 of 26 for the game, which is atrocious. If you take out Kyrie Irving, they were 6 of 16. A lot of plays in this game where the Nets just played sloppy, missing a lot of bunnies, especially in the first half. Those have to go down. Spencer Dinwiddie probably going 0 of 7 on lob passes. That was not great. He was really forcing these things. He should probably be banned from throwing lobs. I think he looked a little bit more comfortable in the offense, especially his ability to hit the kind of 15-foot shot that he was a bit reluctant to take last year. There was two of those instances where he knocked those down. I think that's a good sign for the future, but overall, his passing was pretty wonky tonight.
Yeah, you and I talked about that mid-range shot just kind of to each other during the game, where that was the play that we wanted him to do more when he kept throwing those lobs, because it was just like, it was so clear that the defense was giving it to him. They were playing way off, just trying to protect against the lob to either Allen or DeAndre, whoever was in the game at the time. But yeah, when he took that shot, it was great. It was wide open. It was kind of easy. It was the shot that D'Angelo Russell would take when he would come off the pick and no one was kind of stepping up. They were all sitting back. So that shot is there, and it's just like I think players know it's not the most efficient shot to take a mid-range jumper as opposed to a three or a layup when they're wide open, when those other shots are wide open. But if it's like contested, then the mid-range shot becomes more valuable. So it's just being aware of the game situation, the court situation, and just like taking what the defense gives you in a sense. And so when he did that, it was great. But like you said, it was way too many just like lobs to no one.
Yeah, that just can't happen. And I get it. He wants to throw lobs and get the big man involved, and it's exciting. But the big man actually needs to be there and be open to make those work. What were your kind of thoughts from overtime? I think you and I both were disappointed that Andrew Wiggins unfortunately had a couple key buckets after what was really just a disastrous game for him.
Yeah, that was the most surprising part, because it felt like throughout all of regulation, we just like wanted him to shoot every single time. And like even with those two huge shots, he was 10 for 27 in this game, which is not good. So like I guess you still like you kind of live with that, but the shots he did get were kind of like he just drove right down into the paint and had like a pretty decent layup. So it's more just about like, regardless of who it is, kind of stopping the ball and making sure that because he, like, for all of his flaws, he is still like an NBA player, and he was drafted number one overall, even though he clearly shouldn't have been drafted number one overall, but he was, and he has some talent. And so if you give him that kind of space and that kind of runway, he's athletic enough to get inside and finish. So that was tough. And then my other big takeaway just from the game as a whole was just how incredible Karl Anthony Towns looked.
Yeah, I mean, he was just like getting that three-pointer off so easily, and it's such an effortless shot for him. And, you know, his touch is incredible, and he just drains it every time. And it's tough for a guy like Jared Allen, because if you want to play up on him, Towns is skilled enough and quick enough to be able to get past you and finish. And then once Jared Allen is pulled out of the paint, there's absolutely no one on the net, rest of the Nets, that can come over and help and be a deterrent there. So it puts the Nets in a bit of a bind there when they're going up against those all-around centers. Unfortunately, or fortunately for the Nets, those types of Karl Anthony Towns guys are very they're not going to be frequent to play against. Maybe Jokic, Towns, and even an Embiid, I guess. And then besides those three, I mean, those are the cream of the crop, so it's not going to be a nightly occurrence.
Right. The NBA has definitely like gotten smaller and stuff, so this isn't like a huge thing, but it is still that same problem we've talked about where like big guys who can either stretch it out or bully inside have just kind of abused the Nets the last couple years. And then I was also looking at the box score. What do you make of the fact that all of the Nets starters were like positive and plus minus, but everyone on the bench was like kind of terrible? Like Kyrie especially was like really, really good, and it seemed like anytime they took him out and they went to the bench, like they just really struggled.
Yeah, I mean, that really came from the first half. The second half, I think they were fine, but the first half, the offense could not get in the rhythm at all. And I think it's going to, a lot of it might come from that. The Nets wings, you have Nwaba and Temple, who are really just not guys that can make a play. So it will be interesting to see. I wouldn't be surprised to see normal games, maybe you balance it a bit more, where you have Kyrie kind of by himself for a lot of the time. And then on bench units, you have Karis with Spencer, just so there is an option there. Besides Spencer Dinwiddie, and it kind of takes the pressure off guys like a Temple, you know, because they were running Temple off screens like he's Joe Harris, and he's not that. I mean, he's a pretty good three-point shooter, but that's not really going to be his forte. He's more just a kind of a defense guy, and it's just spot up directly in the corner for threes. So I think they're going to have to tinker a lot with that bench unit, especially you have a bunch of new guys there in DeAndre Jordan, Nwaba, and Temple, and kind of figuring out what combination works. And maybe that's playing Rhodey Kurtz more. Maybe that's giving John and Musa a shot. But the bench is really something that has to be tinkered with, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that point about Temple. Because I feel like you said, a guy like Joe Harris or J.J. Redick or Rip Hamilton, like those are guys who you like run your offense around them coming around picks and like getting free and stuff because their shooting is so deadly. And I think that while Temple is a good shooter, like you said, he's not a good enough shooter to like run everything through. And so like his shooting is more valuable just like as a spacer for a guy like Dinwiddie to drive and attack. So I agree that it was like kind of a little bit too much put on him in the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Joe Harris, I mean, he showed him how it's done because he drained four threes in the second half. He had a really nice clutch one in overtime. Off a out of bounds play, so I think he looked really good in the second half. But yeah, that's just not Temple's game. So I don't know. You know, it's a tough loss in the first game of the season. But Kyrie Irving played so well. I think there were a lot of encouraging signs there. Torian Prince having a really excellent second half. Allen making some standout plays on defense, and LeVert definitely had his moments. You know, he had a really bad turnover in overtime where he kind of got the ball, but then almost dribbled it too far ahead of himself. And Nets killer, both when he was with the Nets and now Travion Graham was able to catch up to it and steal the ball, and that kind of changed momentum a bit. But LeVert had a nice game in spurts. So, you know, luckily the Nets play a much worse team coming up in the New York Knicks. So hopefully they'll be able to get on the board there and make themselves one-on-one on the season. And if you want to place a wager on that game, go to mybookie.com. The NBA season is just getting started, so now is the time to get on the court and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite basketball action every day. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets, which I really like, any sports book on the planet. If you're the type of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, which I think we all would ideally like to be, try a parlay. I'm a big parlay person. Pick your locks for the day. Put them together in one bet. And when they all come through, the rewards will be huge. The best part of all this is if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you another $1,000. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. To double your cash, visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. What's better than that? So, Marcus, looking ahead to the Knicks, they lost their opener against the Spurs today. Obviously, besides the rivalry that we've developed with Gavin Shaw of Locked On Knicks, anything that you're going to be looking forward to quickly?
I'm hoping to see Frank Ntilikina get a little bit more minutes.
He only played three. On the Knicks side, on the Nets side.
Oh, on the Nets side. Gotcha. I want DeAndre Jordan to have a really nice game, not just because he played for the Knicks. I guess played is like a stretch, but he was on the Knicks last season. But just because it felt like he didn't really get going in this game, and you and I were both really impressed by him in the preseason. And so that minutes distribution that we expected to be kind of 50-50 was more like 70-30 towards Jared Allen. So, and we both love Jared Allen. We both want him to like succeed and all that. But I think if you can get DeAndre going, that can maybe be more of a deterrent to those bigger centers, like a guy like Towns. So the Knicks don't really have anyone like that. They do have a ton of power forwards, but even just to like get those guys some confidence would be really nice going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. DJ didn't really have as good of a game, and a lot of that comes down to that. He just didn't have a connection with Dinwiddie, so that will be something that hopefully gets developed, or maybe he gets some more time with Karis and with Kyrie Irving, who are probably the best natural passers of the bunch. We'll see how it goes. I'm pretty bullish on the Nets getting that win. Mitchell Robinson may or may not play for the Knicks. He did not play in the home opener or the season opener against the Spurs. So we'll see what happens there, and looking forward to the Nets continuing to gel. You know, this will hopefully just be a blip on the radar, but we'll be here to follow it all season long. You can subscribe to the podcast at Locked On Nets, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter. Of course, I am at JMBass_. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. And I was furiously live tweeting from the main account last night at Locked On Nets. We hope to see you there. And until next time, be well.
Bye.